I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm having a great conversation with my buddy Tavis Smiley, and we're talking about, as we went to break, talking about what his listeners are bringing to him around the things that they're looking for when they turn on the news, when they turn on his program on KBLA Talk 1580, what they're interested in hearing. And Tavis, you talked about as we were going to break some of the, you know, the issues that you try to get into with your audience. What are they telling you are the issues? Now, I would bet that top of mind for them are not the age of the current president of the United States. but folks on my side of the aisle want that to be the conversation. And even some among progressives express their concern about that and saying, oh, Biden should come off the ticket and someone else should take his place. But I suspect for a lot of Americans, they've sort of baked into their minds, this is going to be Biden, Trump again. And now they want to focus on how they're going to process that relative to issues around what we see happening in Europe, gas prices at the gas station down the street, the grocery store that they have to go to this weekend. What are they talking to you about right now?
It's a great question. As you well know, Tip O'Neill famously said many, many years ago, former Speaker of the House, that all politics is local, that all politics is local. So I don't, it doesn't so much matter to me who you're talking to. I happen to have a national platform with a program that's heard across the country in syndication. So whether the people I'm talking to are in Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, you know, DC, New York, wherever we are heard, the issues are basically the same when you're talking to progressive voters, liberal voters, Democratic voters, certainly African Americans, people of color. All politics is local. Yep. They do care about the direction. They do care about the direction and the future of this country. I think most of us are now willing to acknowledge that our democracy is fragile. The democracy is very fragile. And many people, I think, see in connection to that, that we are being called upon, certainly African Americans have been called upon time and time again. You and I are sitting for this conversation. It's not lost on me in February, Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And I still ain't figured out how we chose the shortest and coldest month of the year to celebrate such a rich cultural heritage. But I digress on that point. But Du Bois, the great Du Bois, the great Black intellectual, W.B. Du Bois, the first African American, as you know, to receive a PhD from Harvard.
That's it.
Du Bois once asked this question, Michael: would America have been America without her Negro people? That's Du Bois. Would America have been America without her Negro people? Now, you and I both know the answer is a resounding no.
Yep.
And I think you can say that honestly and transparently without demonizing or casting aspersion on any other group of people. But if you take Black folk out of the American democratic experiment, brother, it just falls flat.
It does.
If you take us out of the American democratic experiment, it just falls flat. So that Black people in particular have been called upon time and time again to save this democracy in every war, in the civil rights era, in Reconstruction. I could go all day long on this. We have been called upon repeatedly to save this democracy, and oftentimes to save this democracy from itself. Mm-hmm. So here we are once again. I'm answering your question. What am I hearing from my listeners? They understand that in this critical moment, and this in late modernity, in the American democratic experiment, they understand that they're being called upon yet again to help save this democracy from authoritarianism,
yep.
Save this democracy from anarchy. I told some folks the other day, Michael, and I think you'll appreciate this, given your political pedigree. I tell people, I said the other day that people keep saying, and the White House says it, and Biden says it, everybody says it, but the frame is a little bit off. Everybody keeps reminding the nation and saying to Black people in particular, as they ask for their votes again this election, they keep saying that Black people saved Joe Biden's candidacy, that Black women in particular saved Joe Biden's candidacy. And I tell people, well, that's partially true. But let's just tell the whole story. Black folk didn't just save Joe Biden's candidacy. When they saved his candidacy, they saved the democracy. We didn't just save his candidacy. We saved the democracy.
There you go. Yeah. Complete the sentence.
Yeah, complete the sentence, man. So the question, though, is, again, what I'm hearing from my audience, the question, though, is, what do Black folk in particular get? In particular, Michael, what do we get for saving this democracy from itself time and time again? And the answer to that is not much.
Not much.
You can't get a serious conversation about reparations. You can't get voting rights passed, meaningful voting rights bill passed through the Senate. You can't get meaningful police reform measures passed through the Senate. I'll stop here and answer your question. What am I hearing? What I'm hearing is a great deal of angst, a great deal of concern about what we get for saving this democracy every time. They always come back to us. And we still end up essentially being on the outside looking in, no matter what we do to save this democracy from itself. So people are not so put off that they're going to just write off the political process. I know there's many who are so frustrated they're not even going to vote. And
yeah.
I'm talking to those folks every day about why they need to engage and involve themselves in the process. But I'll close with this. That old line that, you know, that we've been saying for years, Michael, that the two most important days in your life are Election Day and Judgment Day.
Right.
And your vote is your voice, and your ancestors died for you to have the right to vote. I can tell you right now, brother, that stuff ain't working no more.
No.
That stuff is not working anymore. We got to come with something better than that if we're gonna inspire people and motivate them to turn out in the most important election of your lives, November of 2024. We got to come up with a better narrative. I'm not sure I know the answer. You're the former chair. You may have a better answer than I do, but I can tell you right now, those lines are not working. And that's the stuff I'm hearing from my audience.
Yeah, I think your audience is spot on. Those lines aren't working because those lines are now, for many, many African-Americans, a lie. And they refuse to buy into the lie that, you know, there is some benefit to doing as they are requested to do. The irony for me is that, you know, there history is replete with those moments and efforts to keep African Americans from the ballot box, including the present day. And at the same time, you have political leaders trying to find ways to get African Americans to vote and participate to save their behind from themselves. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You strip away the voting rights that we have, not enshrined in the Constitution, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. Separate legislation in 64 and 65 to give us access to the ballot box and to in some way encapsulate our civil rights. And now here we are in this 21st century having the Supreme Court basically say, y'all don't need those. and then mm-hmm. we look at what the states are doing. So, and then you come and say, but we need you to come out and vote. Well, how do I trust a system that's trying to tell me in the same breath, my vote has very little value and certainly very little value worth protecting, but yet mm-hmm. still you need me to come out and vote. And so, and that really kind of got to the heart for me. I don't know if you watched the special with Trymaine Lee and Charles Coleman Jr. On MSNBC, which, you know, raised some controversy, how African-Americans, mm-hmm. Particularly Black men, you know, participate in this process. You know, you know, special sort of focused on, you know, Black men in America, the road to 2024, and what that means, what that means, that intersection of society, race, and culture for Black men, who, right. as a lot of focus and emphasis has been placed on Black women, Black men are now, at least in some polling, saying, yeah, you know, maybe I'll look at Trump. How do you read the narrative relative to Black men in this conversation?
Yeah, it's another great question. And I'll just say this. This is pretty straightforward and simple for me. I think that a lot of times in these conversations, we take our eyes off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Put another way, we major in the minors. We major in the minors.
Yes.
We're not focused on what really matters here. So what I mean by that in this instance is that everybody, you know, falls for the banana in the tailpipe. We focus in on the headline, Black men voting for Trump. Okay, I get that. I get the headline. But let's dig a little deeper, though. Let's dig a little deeper. The real question for me is, why would any segment of the African-American population consider voting for someone who has consistently pushed an agenda that is antithetical to their best interest?
Makes no sense to me.
There you go. I'm going to say it again. Why would any particular segment, any segment of the Black community, the Black voting bloc, consider voting for someone who has pushed an agenda that is antithetical to their interest? I agree with you. It makes no sense to me. But let's take it another step. As you said earlier, complete the sentence. See, that really ain't the question. That's the first question.
Right.
The real question is, how desperate must you really be? Mr. Chairman, are you with me now? Are you with me?
I am, brother. I am so with you. I'm on the other side of you.
how desperate must you be?
Oh my goodness!
To even consider that as an option. How desperate must you be to take ammunition, put it in the gun, and put it to your head? Because that's exactly what you're doing. So, and that's the question that nobody wants to wrestle with. We're all titillated by the headline of Black men and Donald Trump. We're titillated by that. But nobody really wants to wrestle with the most urgent question. And that urgent question is the one that you and I just were laughing about, but it ain't funny, which is how desperate must you be to even consider that as an option? And so here's my point. When you ask that question, and here's why, I can tell you why I said rhetorically, I can give you a real answer. I can tell you why don't nobody want to wrestle with that question. Because to wrestle with that question is an indictment on the Democratic Party.
Yep.
Indictment on the Biden White House.
Yeah.
It's an indictment on I'll stop. You take my point, though, do you not?
I do. And that to me, it, dude, you just laid it out. And it's funny, as I was listening to you, I was having a flashback to one of our early conversations on your show. I remember sitting in sort of like those little space chairs that you used to have when you're set. I can still see it. I can still see it. And you're asking me about why should Black folks even consider the Republican Party? Because I, at that time, I think I was coming out of my chairmanship or just left my chairmanship of the party. And I was making the case around some of the bigger policy differences and some of the other things where, you know, relating back to history and, you know, kind of like, I can't make that case today because the interests of this party as it's currently iterated under MAGA is antithetical to our interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you rationalize fine people on both sides, when you rationalize shithole countries, when you rationalize the Blacks or my Black, I don't see how you can make that case. And I certainly can't make that case when the response of a Black man, a United States senator running for the presidency, capitulates to Trump by saying, "I just love you, man." As a Black man, I can't rationalize that interest. And so it really, the point you make as two Black men discussing this, for me is, hey, I don't get it. How do you make that leap and go, okay, yeah. I mean, look, I get it. You know, you may think you may buy this whole macho thing and the machismo and all of that. But at the end of the day, you got to stack that up with what's in your family's interest. What's in your mama and your daddy's interest? What's in your sister's interest?
That's right.
What's in your community's interest? And seemingly some folks aren't doing that, Tavis.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.